You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, theater fans, welcome and thanks for tuning in. This is just a quick heads up for everyone with warning triggers around this topic. This episode does contain conversations about rape and sexual assault, so please, please, please be careful as you listen through. Enjoy, and we will see you on the other side. Hello, theater fans, one and all. Welcome back to the... What podcast is this? This is We Are Theatre. Oh, my God. We are off to a cracking start already, guys. Hello, hello. Today, I'm joined by three wonderful ladies. Hello, Charlotte, Holly, Lauren. I went to call you Madison because it's on your face. Oh, my God. Again, guys, this is off to a great start.
Rename. But
remember Monday. Hello. How are we?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
For you guys that cannot see faces right now because you're listening to it, we've got Bernie returning for her third appearance on one of my podcasts, record breaking. Charlotte and Holly are making their first appearances. Hello, guys.
Hi.
First of all, let's chat about where you guys are at in life right now. What are you guys up to outside of the band? And then we'll focus in on the band for the rest of this. Lauren, we'll start with you because I believe you tried to tell us but couldn't tell us last time you were on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's so true.
It was like, I think the day after we recorded.
Oh, yeah, it was. You're so right. Oh, gosh, yeah. So I'm in London town. I'm doing Angelo Weber's Cinderella outside of band life, which is lovely to be back in work. So, yeah,
that's where I'm at.
You know, it feels really weird talking about doing a band-related interview and talking about what we do individually. Yeah, that literally never happens. It's very strange. We always try and steer clear, actually. But I'm also in London and also working for Andrew Lloyd Webber. but I'm in Phantom of the Opera, so I'm just a little bit down the road from Lauren. But we're doing very similar things.
She's not playing a very big role or anything. Like, she doesn't have much, like, to do in the show. She's just really, like,
actually don't.
She's actually just the boat. She just comes out for that one scene.
She is the boat.
Goals. Iconic goals.
I want that job.
Charlotte?
Mine sounds so much more boring than these two. I am deputy head of a performing arts college. So I run that basically called Artemis College, and I choreograph lots of different shows all the time, which is lots of fun.
He always says that sounds boring. That just sounds so sick. Grown up. Like, really, like,
so
you've
together.
Got your shit together. Yeah.
No, it's, yeah.
Adult jobs.
It's an adult job. My muggle job, as we call it. but it's fun.
All right. And for those of you that don't know me, maybe this is your first time joining because you love these girls more than my podcast. I am Josh. I do this for a living. We are not here to talk about theatre today, though. So sorry to those folks out there listening. We're here to talk about country music and bands. Hello.
Hello.
Country music is like one of my favorite types of music, for those of you that want to know a little bit more about me. But how did you guys get started as a group? Where did you guys first meet and be like, yes, let's do this?
Oh God, it was so long ago now. It makes us feel really old, so I don't even know if I want to tell you. It was like a full decade ago that we met, or near to that anyway. And we met at Sixth Form College and we were in the same performing arts class. I think, were we in the same class?
No, we were in the same year group and in the first year, and then we were put together in second year.
Oh yeah. And we were all quite intimidated of each other.
Yeah.
I was definitely intimidated by Charlotte. I was like, God, that girl looks a bit scary, I'll steer clear. And then in second year we got shoved together and immediately kind of started skipping classes to just stay in a room somewhere else and sing together, just the three of us. We did that for a while, and then I think it was a couple of years later, really, we just kind of sang covers for fun and stuff. And then a couple of years later, we started kind of bringing our own like writing to the band. And that was when we were like, oh, should we actually maybe be a band and like do this for real at some point? And then it was a few years from that point when we rebranded, because we were originally called something else, not Remember Monday, and we rebranded, and then we kind of thought, let's make a real go of this now, and let's start putting music out there and things. And yes, it's only been up since then. Well, not all up actually, but you know.
I think we always knew it was what we wanted to do eventually, but it was one of those things that was like, when do you sort of go for it fully? And yeah, I think for us it was probably the name change. You're right. It was that sort of, we want to do this. Oh. Let's do it. So yeah.
Yeah, amazing. heading into that band genre, and kind of finding an identity, what were some of your like inspirations that you drew off in that genre to get started, Holly?
It's kind of, that's a really difficult question, because I think we've covered every genre ever. Yeah. When we met when we were about 16, 17, we were inspired by all sorts of different genres. I feel like deep down in our soul, country was always creeping up. Even if we were covering Justin Timberlake, country was still sneaking in our harmonies every so often. But yeah, we're all, what's really cool about the three of us is that we all bring a different influence into the band. All together, we kind of love Maren Morris, Mumford & Sons, even Eagles, John Mayer. What else do we love? That's kind of the main four that we always talk about in interviews.
Oh, I thought you were carrying on.
Sorry.
Yeah, so no, I did think that.
It's because we can't see your face.
And that's
so
complete.
I was like,
and that's me.
I'm glad it wasn't just me. Anyway,
I thought we'd frozen. I was like, oh, lost signal.
So yeah, amazing. That's cool. Now, I had you guys on repeat for the last like week getting ready for this, and I'm just, my mind is blown. I've noticed though that every, like most of your like original songs sound very different. Is that from a writing perspective? Not very different, but like you can tell it sounds like different people wrote different songs. Is that correct?
Yeah, we actually have quite a mixture out on our like Spotify and our kind of main you know, music channels actually. Yeah. That is very well observed.
Yeah, yes. I'm listening, I'm like, it sounds like just different. It, not that it's super different, but like just from a musical sense, it's just like, oh, this person was going through this and then like, and then we get into like, we're a group, let's party vibes, and it's just like, yeah.
I'm just gonna look at our Spotify now, because I actually, what have we got out? The first one that we released was like a, oh God, it was a long time ago. And that was like a real, we just wanted like our first release to be like a feel good kind of, you know, summer vibe tune. But yeah, I think the first co-write that we have out was Find My Way. And that was the first song that we ever wrote as a three. And that was just like, it all kind of just came together really quickly, didn't it? That song, we wrote it and kind of recorded it in one afternoon, didn't we?
Yeah, so quick.
And we liked how it felt quite not too done up, not too overproduced. It was kind of like what it was when we wrote it was kind of how it ended up when it was released. And we also wrote it with Tim Prottie Jones and Dan Weller. And yeah, it was the first time that we'd kind of written the three of us. And it was also, we had the influence of those guys who have obviously been in the industry for years. So it was really like a really fun day. And we were so pleased with how it turned out. We just kind of wanted to release it as soon as possible. Obviously Fat Bottom Girls, our writing process for that was really
intense.
Yeah,
that was rough working with them.
Working with Brian May, God, what a guy.
What a collab.
I mean, I wish that we had a hand in writing that, but unfortunately that was Queen.
let's segue from there. Obviously, with lockdowns and everything, TikTok became huge. That's where I kind of discovered you guys, when you guys were just throwing up random like harmony lines and everything, and I was just like blown away. So what was the process behind, okay, we're doing this song, let's quickly throw a harmony together? Were these like things that you had in the bag from gigs and stuff, or was it just fresh content?
So the first TikTok we did, I think we'd done a few before, to which nobody really saw any of them. I think we were just always working out how TikTok works. But we were coming back from a gig and we were just in the car park, weren't we? And we did Alone. I think it was our first big one. And that, I think, how did we even do that?
We'd seen, what's his name? Logan. He did it. You know, the three guys, T3, that do that. They did that Into the Unknown cover. Yeah, they're insane. Yeah. And we saw one of the guys from T3 do this cover of Alone. And I think I sent it to the girls, like, guys, we should cover this. And then we were walking back from the gig, like Shah said, and we were in the car park. And I think one of us, like, did a high note or something in the car park, and we were like, oh my God, the acoustics in here are amazing. So we were like, should we just give it a go? And we put our phone on the boot of our car and just kind of sang it like a few times and just whacked it up on TikTok. Didn't expect anything, didn't really understand still how TikTok worked. And then, like, by the time we'd gotten home, it had gotten like however many hundreds of thousands of views, and we were like, wait, what?
It's currently sitting at 748,000.
Yeah, it's mental. That's nuts. So yeah, we just kind of thought maybe we should roll with this car park vibe. And obviously it was still locked down, so we couldn't get together inside anywhere. We were at the point in the UK where you could meet up outside, but you couldn't go inside anywhere. And it was freezing. It was like the dead of winter. And we would spend hours and hours in a freezing cold car park. But we was like, we can't let this flop now. You know, it was kind of, people started to be like, hey, you're the girls that sing like covers in car parks. And we were like, yeah. And
that is us.
Yeah. And none of the songs, like you say, were kind of things that we'd ever sung before. We were trying to understand TikTok and jump on trends and things. And we kind of discovered that people love big belty voices, and we'd never really shown that side off in the band, had we, at all?
No, literally not at all.
Not like
So often. Sorry, Hals.
It's all right, go for it.
No, just so often in, you know, because we sing country music and a lot of it is very sort of chilled out, beautiful.
Yeah.
Those sort of
harmonies, yeah.
Vibes. Yeah, harmony focused. And I mean, I still think our TikToks are very harmony focused, but showing off that sort of like real top belting crazy stuff that Holly does on top.
Literally, everyone's so obsessed with
that. Bottom Girls, all I can hear is Holly when it comes. I'm just like, it's just drawn straight up, and I'm like, what is
that? It's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's the Christine.
My favorite thing is when people comment like, I think the girl on the left's doing the high part, and it's me, and I'm like, if only you knew. My voice is the lowest voice in the world.
Everyone always tries to guess and they get it wrong every time.
But we love the secret. Like, I think actually in the end we did reveal our little Fat Bottom Girls harmonies, but we love, and you know what? Sometimes we change it up. Sometimes, you know, I'm on the bottom and Lauren's on the top. Like sometimes it changes. So we will always keep everyone on their toes. It's not always that obvious.
It's not.
It's funny because even after hours of like listening to you guys on repeat, I still can't pick like your like singing voices in my ears like just yet. I'm just like, who's where? So
that's crazy to us.
That's what we want though. That's like we love the fact that it sounds like one voice. I suppose that's how it's supposed to sound, you know, and that's hopefully that means that we're harmonizing in a really close way.
We're blending and,
we're blending.
So have harmonies always come natural to you guys as a group? Is it something that from day one was like, yeah, cool, we can do this? Like,
yeah, I mean, the first song.
Harmonies are like an addiction to us. It's sometimes we get to a point where we're like, actually, in the newest song that we recorded yesterday, there's a good, like, I would say 15 seconds of unison singing, and it's driven Charlotte into an oblivion. Like, her insane.
We're
addicted to harmonies. We're addicted to creating different arrangements and adding different things in. And shockingly, our new song has quite a chunk of unison singing.
It's terrifying. It's utterly terrifying. I unison's not anything I've done before or anything that I like. Give me a specific harmony.
When we first met though, like we were so, even back then we were obsessed with it. We never were interested in like, okay, no. I'll sing three lines and then you sing three lines. And then I feel like over the years we have had to rein ourselves in and be like, okay, we should probably sing solos for the verses, I guess. But like even at the beginning, we would just sing every freaking line of every song in harmony to the point where it's a bit much. So I suppose we've been doing it for so long and you know, I think we've just become so in tune to each other now and each other's voices. And I feel like we understand so well now where all of our voices will sit best with the song. And it just feels like the easiest thing in the world for us now, I guess. Like just...
It really does.
And then we split into three on that bit. Let's go, you know? It's not something that we kind of... think about.
No, yeah. our brains all think what each other thinks now when we're arranging a song.
Yes,
it's very weird. It's starting to get a little bit weird how we all imagine the exact same riff or the exact same movement next. It's so creepy. It was happening a lot yesterday in the studio and we were all just kind of flowing. I think we've been together way too long.
I quit. And this is the last podcast that Remember One Day We'll Be. Congratulations. Amazing. So obviously 2019 was a big year for you guys too, heading on to The Voice. What was that whole experience like for you guys individually and as a group?
Oh, does anyone else want to take this? I don't mind.
I think the silence sums it up.
That was a pretty solid answer.
Which answer do we want to give?
I was going to say, I think...
Because there's a hindsight with it. I think at the time, it was really... It was both terrifying and stressful, yet the most fun we've ever had as mates ever, because we were given the opportunity to only be with each other. You know, we were living in hotels, we were singing every day, which is something we've always wanted to do but couldn't because of money. So that side of it was amazing, and looking back we will always say, oh, what an amazing time the three of us had as mates making music and, you know, singing on live TV and all that stuff. But also it was the most terrified we've ever been in our lives, the most scared. I'll never be more nervous than I was at that blind audition. Speaking about
it really was like, I don't think I realized how awful that feeling would be. Like it was not nice. Like, I mean, the whole process was so much fun, like for all the reasons that Holly just said, but that day was traumatic. It was so, so horrific. Like, you were just sat in ponchos, in clear plastic ponchos for like 12 hours.
Squid Games.
Yeah. Because they didn't want you to spill anything on you know, your outfits, and so you were in your outfits from like 6 a.m. in these clear plastic ponchos boiling to death for like 12 hours. And then, oh god, I remember walking onto the stage, and the guy had told me just before I went on stage that, like, once he'd given me the sign, I could then start playing the guitar. And he was like, so look for me over here, I'll be by this camera and I'll give you the sign, and then you can start playing. And when we walked onto the stage, it seemed like the silence went on for about 7 years, that he wasn't giving me the sign. And I was like, when the hell am I gonna start playing? And it was just my guitar to start us off. And I was like, oh my god, like, has something happened? Do we need to leave the stage? It felt like it stretched on for an entire fucking decade. Excuse me, I've just sworn. And
oh my god, Josh, beep it.
It's all good, we'll just mark it as explicit. It's not the first time we've done this for a burning podcast.
So sorry. Give her a beat. But yeah, it stretched on for about a decade, and then eventually he gave me the signal, and I was so terrified that I was going to miss the signal, so I played immediately. And then I was like, oh my Christ, that means I've now got to sing. And it was just, honestly, I thought I was going to poo on the stage.
Yeah,
I didn't. It was horrible.
I also think backstage, we just made each other worse. Like, because we, like, normally
we really
if one
out
of us
the worst
is stressed,
each other.
No, because yeah. Normally if one of us is really stressed, we calm the other, like, the other two calm them down. But we were all so nervous that it just sort of, like, fueled each other. Like, you'd go, oh god, I'm stressed. And then you go, no, I'm more stressed than you. It was so bad.
The huge problem with it was that we were constantly trying to work out who they were going to put through. So by the time we'd done the blinds, and, you know, we were putting the battles and the knockouts, we just spent the entire time working out who the producers were planning to put through, doing the math. Oh, if that person goes through, that one won't, and blah, blah, blah. And it just, you know, actually, devastatingly, we decided we weren't going through before we'd gone on to sing Jailbreaker. We were like, well, we're not going through, so let's just do our best.
That bloody Nicole Dennis.
Never
liked that just, her.
That just solidified it for us. So we kind of just, for Jailbreaker, was just like, let's just get a good video out of this and try and smash it as best we can. But
yeah, and let's sing an original on live TV. That was literally our mindset.
That was what we wanted to do when we entered the competition. We were like, our goal for this entire process is to be able to sing an original on ITV, because holy hell, like, that is seriously a bucket list ticked off, you know. And we did it, so that's amazing. But yeah, the process, I mean, do you remember one of the executive producers had to take us away individually and give us, like, calming down chats, like, right before we went on stage.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And we were just a mess. We got them after as well. Do you remember?
Yeah.
After was the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life.
I don't know how. No, the best part of that day, of the blinds day, was when we'd just gotten through and we were all a bit shell-shocked. And do you remember we were being interviewed on the side of the stage, and all of a sudden Cedric Neal started singing Higher Ground, and we all just stopped the interview and we were like, sorry, I just need to listen to what's currently happening on the stage behind us. Because honestly, his voice was just the most incredible thing we've ever heard, and we were like, oh well, we're not gonna win. This guy's got it in the bag. He was incredible.
He is ridiculous. He's so good.
So being on stage with the blinds, seeing the chairs turn, and then seeing Ollie, Tom, Jehad turn around, like, what was that moment like, having to control your emotion to get through the song and, like, be like, cool, we made it past the first barrier? Do you guys remember?
I don't know. Process that? The end.
Lauren and I were lucky. We were angled in to each other. And Holly was in the middle. So I don't think Lauren and I particularly clocked that anyone had turned. And the beep, you know, the massive buzz, they don't put that in until after. So, like, the boom sound effect, you don't hear that. So it's fine. But I think, how did you find it, Holly?
It's so weird. Like, I watched back the video and I'm like, I wasn't there. Like, I actually, I don't remember standing there. It's so hard to explain, because it's not like it happened so fast. It's genuinely like, I have memory loss. I don't remember standing there and doing it and surviving it. I feel like we just felt so much relief once the song had ended and they were all turned around, that feeling completely overshadowed the entire performance.
Yeah.
Like, who knows what happened on the stage? We were just like, thank the heavens above, someone turned. Because they talk you through the idea of no one turning as well, which is basically no one turns and you just turn around and leave.
Yeah.
And they make you rehearse that. So we obviously had this like horrifying fear of no one turning and just it being on YouTube and everyone seeing it.
Amazing. That's just terrifying.
So awkward.
It was also extremely freaking cool. Like, I feel like we've really been negative Nancy's, but it was also the coolest experience of our lives. Like,
chatting.
I mean, and the, like, after we, you know, got the four turns, we were just chatting to J-Hard and Tom and Will.i.am and Ollie Murs for like a solid, I would say like 20 minutes.
Yeah, a lot was cut.
It looked like, so much was cut.
What was it like getting feedback from people that, like, are that high in the industry, and someone like Tom Jones who's been around forever and done everything, like, to get that insight from people? What was that like?
I really remember Will.i.am kind of asking us, he was like, do you guys feel like you know who you are? I'm so sorry, my dog is whining. Can you hear? Good boy. But I feel like I remember Will.i.am asking us if we knew who we were, if we were a finished product. And he was like, if you're a finished product, come to me. I'll help you market it if you feel like you've got to work. And he was like, go with J-Hard. Like, she'll help you. She'll get you there. She'll get you to a place where you, you know, are ready. And I feel like that was maybe one of the biggest kind of things in my brain that stuck out as to, you know, maybe we should go with Jennifer, because I don't know, I just feel like that was some really solid advice. But it was just bizarre getting advice from Will.i.am. I also felt like maybe I was still watching them on a TV screen and they were Holocaust or something.
Yeah.
Although Ollie Murs smelled insane. So I do remember that. It was like smell-o-vision.
I remember we constantly told him as well. We were like, you're really smelling good.
Just, you know. We were literally, you smell so good, Ollie Murs. So weird.
Okay, so we're going to go into decision time. I love this time because it makes you think really hard when you weren't expecting it. We've spoken a lot about harmonies, guys, and I know, but these girls, like, if you haven't listened to their stuff, please do, because, like, then you'll understand why I want to talk about this so much. Excluding...
Oh, God.
I've forgotten the name of the song. Hold up. You know that big one you did, Fat Bottom Girls? Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Excluding that. Actually, let's just go from your originals. What is your favorite harmony?
Oh gosh,
mine. Yes. I know mine.
Charlotte, straight away.
Mine is mine's version of you, the bridge section.
That's obvious.
That whole bit.
That was also the first thing that sprang to my head as well.
Yeah me too. But I'm gonna think out the box.
Yeah.
I'm gonna think out the box. It has to be released.
Yes, I would have had to have listened to it, so I know where it is.
Okay. Is this supposed to be a quick thinking game? Am I ruining it massively?
Oh, I know. I also like and I'll fly from
me too.
Just to see you.
Me too.
I like that one as well.
That one stresses me out because my harmony is like super crunchy. So I like it, but it's like
I like a little head that tilt. One.
So ready for mine? Mine's at the end of Find My Way. Like when the music cuts before you go into that final section.
Yeah.
Do you know what part I'm talking about? Like, it's the same harmony as like the rest of the song, but it's just like all the music pops and it's just like, this is just pure just harmony. Let's go.
Yeah,
we love that. We've got to do more of that.
Yeah,
it's just love it.
So fun.
How good's music?
Harmonies.
Oh, I know.
Love it.
Singing rocks.
So we were gonna originally plug a Kickstarter, which has now been fulfilled. Yay. Nothing Nice to Say music video is happening. How's the song going? Is that what you recorded yesterday? Is that
She is completed. We have not heard her, but she is in process. We literally laid down all the vocals, didn't hear any of it back, and we were like, well, let's hope that was a good take. Not a clue. Literally not a clue, but we have to have faith in our voices.
Do you know what? We love the song, so I think it was just one of those.
So much.
We all, I think, just love it. Yeah. And we wanted it to be sort of everything we imagined it. Yeah. So yeah, we hope it is that when it comes out for everyone.
Being very fussy with it.
Yeah.
We have been removed this and rejigged this song like 50 times.
Yeah, we really have.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we were supposed to kind of finish recording this song, like, I feel like it was like a year ago.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite.
Yeah. Yeah. But I reckon nearly.
Yeah. And we got started on it and we were like, no, this isn't right. This isn't quite
what we feel
like it needs to be. And we scrapped it and started again. And like, we just really have so much love for it. And now we have the video to go with it. And Oh my God, obviously it's not done yet. We're shooting it. How many weeks away from today are we shooting it? Like 3 weeks away or something?
Yeah, it must be about 2 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
3 weeks today.
Which is terrifying because we have a lot to do, but we're so freaking excited. And we just, God, the concept is just incredible and we can't take credit for that. That's our amazing director, Ellie Hayden. She's just a genius and we just can't wait to see it. Like, I'm going to sit and watch it probably as many times as I watched You Belong With Me by Taylor Swift, because that music video was my childhood. And I'm really hoping that this music video is like a similar vibe for some kid somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andy Pink. I love that. So again, decision time. What is the ultimate, not really decision, what is the ultimate goal for you guys? Where do you guys, what would you consider the top of the peak at this very point in time?
For me, it's literally just being able to live off the band. I don't care about like fame or I don't know, that kind of makes me cringe a little bit. But like the idea of being able to be at work and that work be in a studio with the girls or, you know, on a stage with the girls, that's just like the best thing I could ever think up in my brain. It's just, that would be total success for me.
100%.
Yeah, I feel like with us, when we're together, this is going to be really lame actually, but when we're together we create amazing things, like whether we, you know, come up with an amazing song or an arrangement or whatever, the more time we're together the more magic happens. So every day we're not together, we're wasting this amazing thing that could be. And I think that's always what's in the back of our minds, like, a whole 24 hours is just gone, but we could have been doing something awesome with the band.
in a car park
another viral TikTok. But honestly, I mean, all of our answers are the same. It's just being able to do it every day, because we just feel like we're missing out on so many awesome things that could be happening, because we can't right now be together every day. But
yeah,
and it's literally
one day maybe.
I just feel like every kid in the world dreams of being in a band with their best friends. Like, I can't believe that we're doing that and that is our reality. Like, every time have like any kind of cool thing happen, I'm like, holy crap, this is just literally every kid's dream. And or maybe not every kid, but I would wager a lot of kids' dreams. So you know, the fact that we get to do it is just insane. And then if we were able to do it every day, just that'd be the dream.
Amazing. Okay. Now, if you got offered tomorrow any stage in the world, any event, anywhere, what would be your pick of the crop?
Super Bowl halftime show.
That was very decisive too. That was straight off.
That's an event.
That's an event.
Are we going for an event?
And we'd love the event of it. We'd put on such a show if we had the budget.
Yeah, we'll do a Kickstarter.
Yeah,
drop us a mail.
You get to be our fan group on the field when we perform. If you help us get there.
If we're going for an event, I would say Coachella. If we're going for a venue, I would say the Greek Theatre in LA.
Ooh.
I feel like mine is more low key. Mine, I think one of my like, yeah, mine is probably the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville, which I feel like.
Me and Charlotte are like, that's not going to make us any money.
I know, no, but I'm
with Lauren.
But it could in the future because like everybody gets found at the Bluebird.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I like where you're like thinking.
I feel like it's a rite of passage. I feel like that's
in my head. We've already done that, which is why we're at Coachella. In my dream world, that's already been done.
That, what Holly just said was dream bigger, Lauren. Let's go.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. The Ryman would be nice as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been
real
to the Ryman?
Roots there.
No, we've never been
to Nashville.
I've walked on the Ryman stage. It is
okay. Gorgeous. Cool story.
Look, sorry. Don't well, look, I've got to get something in here. You guys have been talking yourselves up for the last 40 minutes. Amazing. So, release date's coming soon for everything.
Yeah.
So make sure everyone listening go to the description below, click every single link that's there, and then hit follow. That way you don't miss it. Because if you miss it, you'll be upset because everyone else will get to experience it before you. And that's not cool. Any other big news anywhere that you can actually?
No, we can't. Oh God,
we have such probably the biggest thing ever for our band ever, but we cannot tell you. But what we can tell you is it's the biggest thing we have ever done ever as a band.
Now this just gives me anxiety that I don't know.
We are counting down the days.
Yeah,
we are literally counting down the days.
Oh God, yes. I wish I could say it, but we just can't.
Lauren, like,
but we also do. I know it's here. It's on the tip. But we do also have. Before Nothing Nice to Say is being released, we're also going to release Jailbreaker, which has been in the pipeline since we did The Voice.
Yeah,
and that is
really
finally
has.
Coming. That's coming really soon, really, really soon. I think you'll probably hear a release date, I would say within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely within the next couple of weeks, I think.
So that's coming first, and then it will be Nothing Nice to Say once everything's all finished up, and then hopefully at some point we'll be able to tell you the really big
oh my god, the day we can announce that news.
I know,
I'm so excited.
It screams.
Yeah,
now we're just
gonna have to
leave you
podcast.
We're
yeah.
literally just gonna have to leave you guys on a cliffhanger.
We'll have to come back to it when we're allowed to announce.
All right, we'll do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Amazing, guys, all the links that you need to know about to do anything from listening to following is down below in the description. So scroll and click until your heart is content. Make sure you go and listen to all of these songs because my word, I am just vibing every day of the day. Every day of the day.
That's
right.
But yes, guys, that is going to wrap us up. That is it. It's been a solid 40 minutes and I have to love you guys and leave you guys again. Sad times. But yes, we will be back very soon with a brand new episode of the We Are Theatre podcast. So make sure you got those notifications turned on, following everybody once again, and we will see you next time. Bye.
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 Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.